say to quick and turn to page 165. I'm 165. But it was it was talking about, you know, the way of the Lord, the way of life and everything. And I want to say it was Matthew Henry that I was reading about it, and he was saying, I thought this was pretty good. He said, you know, once we are in that way, some of us can, you know, within the way, get on one path or another path, and they're not all equally right. He said, but the one thing we can't do is ever get back out on the wrong path. He said, we are going to end up in the place that Christ has intended for us to go once we get on that way. So I appreciate the Lord keeping us the way that He does, because goodness knows we're not able to do it. But again, we appreciate the Lord letting us be here this evening. Appreciate Lord helping Miss Stephanie and Brother Parker get back here with us. I hope y'all are feeling a little better. Okay. Good. I know Christine was saying yesterday we were talking about that your asthma makes it take a little bit longer to get healed up, but we'll take positive direction. Amen. Amen. And I think Robert Cerisa is still gone. I forget when they said they would get back.
I want to say they come back.
Okay. I knew it was something like that. I thought they were still down there, so just pray the Lord would bring them back safely and help them the rest of their trip. Is Miss Vivian doing okay? I know she's not here this evening.
She's sometimes bad cold now.
Where they cut the thing off, or man, you kept it covered up yesterday.
I know. Yes. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's another thing we realize too. Stuff sometimes stuff like that just happens. But okay, so remember, Preacher Billy, that infection. Remember, Miss Vivian, that she'll get better. I know a lot of us are. It's that time we're struggling with allergies. And I was telling Christine on the way here, me and Cooper was talking about it, even just visually, it looks to me like there's more ragweed this year even than there usually is. It looks like there is. So I don't know, but it's bad. But that's one thing about it, we can look forward to going to a place where we can see all the pretty flowers we want to, and they ain't going to try to poison none of us. There will be no allergies. You know, we realize that's just a part of the curse, and that's something that's common to man. You know, we've got to deal with it as long as we're here, but, you know, not always. There'll be a time when we don't have to deal with that. I thought about that a lot, too, and I don't really have a bunch of time with this, but, you know, a lot of times this flesh will fight us on stuff, and especially this flesh, it knows it's not going to heaven. Like, this flesh, this is all it gets, right? And so this flesh don't like the idea of dying. And you think, you know, we enjoy the beauty of the things that are here, and sometimes in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I think I'll miss what I'm seeing and stuff. But then what I have to do is remind myself is that there is no aspect of the beauty of God's creation that we're going to miss in the next life. Everything that is beautiful, everything that we can appreciate in God's creation is going to be present in that next world in so much more splendor than anything we can possibly see here, unmarred by death, unmarred by change.
Right.
You know, here what we see that's beautiful fades away.
Amen. Yeah.
And hopefully every year it comes back. And the Bible says it will until the end of time. We're going to have, you know, spring and winter and summer and autumn, but we have to wait for those cycles to come around.
Right.
And when we get up there, it's going to stay. We won't have to wait for it to come back around. So we just got to remember the truth about this stuff and look at it from the right frame of mind, and you realize the blessedness that we have to look forward to.
But
who's got a request of prayer? I've lifted their hand this evening. Amen. Amen. The Lord sees all these. I'm going to ask who else has got a request, but it occurred to me to ask. Do you know, has Barbara made any kind of decision? Or?
Thank you.
y'all continue to remember Mama too. She had her, she did the heart shock thing yesterday. Unfortunately, it didn't work. So, like originally they said, if it doesn't work, then the only thing is a pacemaker. But then what they said yesterday when it didn't work, there's some kind of medicine they want to try her on for a month. And then they want to try it again, so I'm not sure the details of that. Dad just had enough time to call us all and tell us kind of how it went. So. But as far as I know, she's still been feeling really good. She was doing well Sunday. She was at my uncle's house for the once a month family get together. I don't remember when the last time it was that she was at. So that was definitely a good sign. She was able to then right after that go to church, Sunday night at Dad's church. So really appreciate the work of my mom. Just continue to remember her. If you would, continue to remember Dad. You know, he's as much as I like to think of it that way. You know, Dad's not as young as he used to be, and he's working for himself. And he just kind of, he works a lot, you know, just to get by. But, you know, mentally and emotionally, it's a lot better than where he was at HBF. They're basically killing him out there. And it's one of those deals where I know that his desire is to just trust the Lord. And I think most of the time he does a pretty good job of it, but we know how we are. you get that battle, you think you got it won, and then, yeah. and then it flares back up again. So just pray that God would give Dad grace and give him the strength to do what's needful, that God would, through him, provide for him and Mama. Who else has got a request this evening?
Y'all would remember Dad. He's at the emergency room now. He fell a while ago and trying to take Braylon fishing. Got a stick tangled up and fell in his head. But anyway, he's at the emergency room checking on his neck. I think he might have injured his neck. Just pray for him.
Does he seem like he's kind of okay, though?
As far as I know, he's able to drive himself home. He just couldn't get up. Okay. I think his neck was hurting pretty bad. He wanted to have it checked out.
Okay. Amen. I pray for you. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen Derek and Katie. Am I imagining that? Are they the same?
I talked to Derek the other day. I called to check on them. Derek said that they had been some things they didn't have them. So I don't know if I got sick or what. I had talked to them just Saturday.
Okay.
Friday or Saturday.
I texted her early this morning and she said that they were having trouble in the water.
I don't guess I thought about that aspect of it. Speaking of which, is it, I guess, has anybody heard of Randy? Is he healing up?
I talked to him one day last week. He said he was, I guess, last month or Tuesday, I can't remember. But he said that his back feels home up there. Okay. Just where they could.
I got you. Okay. So just the healing.
Yeah, just the one, where they opened up. But he said, as far as his back, he said he's feeling home. But he's talking about next spring, trying to get him some birds of some kind. Quail, he's going to get him some quail, get his hens mixed up, and all that stuff. I guess he's feeling pretty good.
Amen. Well, I mean, that part sounds good.
Yeah.
He's feeling that good enough.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for that. Now, how about Glenn? How about the Mr. Smith that you mentioned with his lungs? How's that?
Well, he don't know yet. They have to give his results this week yet.
But it's going to be this week. Is that what you?
It should be. Probably would be this week.
Okay.
But they know his results.
And that's a biopsy on what they saw on his remaining lung.
Yeah. On the other one. They give him treatment for that. They hope that it won't be there.
Okay, I got you. Remember Brother Charles too? I don't know. Did he say that? I don't think he's. Does he have an appointment yet to have his skin cancers taken off?
He said he got. Remember he told me that. I don't know if he did. I can't remember what it was. But he said that. I don't know if he mentioned it or not. Remember if he mentioned it or not? But pray that he doesn't have COVID and stick.
Yeah. Is he doing any better? Yeah.
I talked to Chris thing yesterday. He said he was feeling better, but he's even got flooded. And he still has mechanism today. She has a copy as of yesterday, so she was doing okay.
Amen. Good. Praise the Lord for helping Brother A.D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise the Lord. Brown's and Holly found the house today, but they've got keys.
Amen. especially considering what houses cost these days.
Remember, my dad, he's got more limestones that said they developed them really quickly since last time, so they're gonna do another procedure to edit this time. They're also doing some local things to figure out why it keeps developing this so fast.
Okay.
Remember that, and I remember in this boyfriend's death, they were gonna bring him home Friday, but now they're gonna try and bring him home Saturday.
Okay. Is Pritchard Lot still able to preach, I guess?
Hey, they're really not having the really bad issues with them yet, but they are, there's like 9 more stones in there, and they, so that was really unusual to develop them that fast.
Okay, amen, remember those. Continue to remember the Matthew and his job. And I guess it's Scott working.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see what he was saying. I wasn't really for 100% sure what his schedule was going to be.
Yeah, he
but,
works 2 3 times
a week. Okay, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah.
Did he like him so far?
Yeah, he said he does.
Good, good. Praise the Lord for helping him out with that.
Yeah.
I know he's wanting to, I know he's definitely wanting to change.
Yep.
Amen.
And I saw the ginger confession today. She's having surgery tomorrow and needs someone to drive her. I don't know what happened with that.
Okay. Hey, remember her. Is it just allergy stuff or? Yeah, I know. I was worried. I had a stomach bug yesterday. My stomach was hurting about all morning. It just quit. So I praise the Lord for that. Because I was thinking about the fact that, you know, Brother Robert had it and that stuff. Man, you don't pass that on before you know you got it. So that stuff gets around, you know. And I was concerned about that. So, yeah, remember Karen.
I just need to request that Brother Robert be
okay. Suddenly found out she had colon cancer, walked into the hospital for a surgery, now they called hospice and, you know, just went down that fast. And I was telling Christina, it kind of, you know, my heart's a little bit heavy because, you know, I mean, when you work on people's computers, you see stuff. You see their wallpaper, you see whatever. And I kind of get the idea that she's Jewish, like religiously, not just ethnically. So that kind of makes me, you know, concerned about the lady's soul, but just, you know, pray that God will be with her.
Pray for all these paramedics and firefighters and
police. Yeah. 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 Amen. What were you going to say, Pastor?
Pray for me.
Yes. Amen.
I've been, I don't know, for several months now, I've been stressed and don't really know why. I really got a good reason. Just had a lot of anxiety and stress, and, you know, difficulty sleeping, and, you know, just tired all the time. And I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But I've been praying about it, but I don't know. Some my mind's out first. I don't even like talking about it.
Yeah.
I don't even like telling anybody about it. But you know, I'm out of options, so I just pray for
it. Yes, amen. Definitely remember this. Yes, amen. Yeah, remember folks down in Louisiana and Mississippi too. I think that hurricane's supposed to land tonight. I think the Lord, that they were saying they're pretty sure a pretty solid dry air mass is kind of pushing in on the storm, and that should keep it from, you know, strengthening much. So just pray if it be the Lord's will that be the case, and, you know, watch out for those folks down there. All right, that's all. So I'll come pray.
Thank you.
us help us and grow us in spirit and in truth. I pray, God, that you have another, give us liberty, I pray. And I pray, Lord, that you connect us in the unity of the spirit, God, that we will be unified together under this one cause, the truth of your word. God, that we lift up one another and pray for one another. I pray, God, that you give us a birth as a whole for one another. God, that those who are sick among us, may the birth, may those that are well be burdened and pray for. Lord, those that are, Lord, that they're going through suffering in different ways, going broken heart, I pray that you lift them up. God, that you encourage them. God, that you give encouragement to those that are disappointed. God, that you strengthen the heart, Lord, of those that's complaining. Lord, I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, in the day and hour that we live, in the stress and use of everything. I pray that you have mercy, God, in this day and the world. And I pray, Lord, that you have mercy on them. God, that you give us leaders, Lord, that would be a benefit and be a blessing, Lord, to this nation. Be a blessing to your people, God. I pray, Lord, that you just make your power known. God, that you are the one who raises up leaders and sets them down. I pray, God, that you give all, Lord, of those that have made requests tonight for different things, various different things, Lord, you know the needs. I pray, God, you lead every one of them far beyond expectations that we may just glorify you. Lord, I ask you.
I enjoy being here with my church,
yeah.
And I'm thankful for that. I don't
I know a lot of pastors, they love their church to death because God puts it in their heart to do so. They don't enjoy being around with them. And I wouldn't enjoy being around them either, you know, a bunch of backbiting, mean old rascals. But I'm glad I got some people I can enjoy being around. It's good to me. It's good to my wife. It's good to my kids. It prays for me. Helps me out. Y'all know I'm just as broken and messed up as the next guy, but it don't matter. You pray for me.
Yes.
And you don't beat a dead horse, or you know, gouge me while I'm down, or however the saying goes, or whatever you do. But instead, you just lift me up, pray for me. I appreciate that. Thank I just want to let you know I love you. If any of you want to sing tonight, let me know after service. I'm tired, and I've had a long couple of weeks, and it's accumulated in the last couple of days, and I ain't slept good. And Lord willing, I ain't going to preach long. And then I'm going to sit down. If you want to sing, you can sing, and we'll go home. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Psalm 127.
No matter what it is,
whether it's building a house, we're building a house right now, or whether it's taking a job or doing whatever it is that you do in life. He says that it's in vain, it's useless, except the Lord does it. He said, except the Lord build the house. He said, except that the Lord watch over the city. What he's saying is this, is he's saying that whenever he says build the house, he's referring to anything that we might be able to structure in our lives. He's saying that you could go and you could start a business. He's saying you could build a house. He's saying you could do any of them things. He said, except God's in the middle of it, and the Lord's in the center of it, and God has directed it, and it's for His glory. He said, then you do it in vain. It's to no profit. It's not going to benefit anything.
Yeah.
And so what he's saying is this, that anything that you do has no value. Because he says, except the Lord. So what does that mean? That means that everything is included unless God is involved.
Amen.
That's the only thing that brings value. I'm talking about eternal value into that situation.
Yeah.
Also, he says this. He says, except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain to build. He said, except the Lord keep the city, the watch can waketh, but in vain. So when he says, except the Lord build the house, he's not saying, you don't just sit around on your high end waiting for the Lord to build the house. Right?
Right.
I mean, you got to work, right? Ken Frey used to say this all the time, and I've never forgotten. He said, if you're going to pray for a bountiful harvest, you ought to get a hoe in your hand and say amen.
Yeah.
He said, that's part of it. You got to put some work in. You got to put your hands to it. You know, put some feet behind them prayers and do something about it. But he says that whatever that you build, whatever it is that you're involved in, you're endeavoring to do, he says, by all means, work at it. By all means, put your hand to the plow and go to work.
Amen.
He said, but as you do this, understand and know that it is for the glory of God. He said, whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God.
Amen.
If I, looked at my job as just a job, and that's all it is, it's a source of income, and that's all that it is, then that's all God wants to do with that, is just give me a source of income. Now, if I looked at it that way, then I probably would not be very apt to talk to anybody about Jesus or tell anybody about Jesus. Some days I have bad days, and I have customers that's made me mad before, and they probably would never listen to me tell about Jesus because of some interactions I've had with some of them in the past. But that's just me being sorry. I'm just being honest with you. But they was pretty sorry, too, in my defense. But if you can share your scots, they've done that. They're pretty good. Matter of fact, if I have to go to her house for any reason, most of the time she's there, she'll bring me some kind of candy or something. That's a blessing. Yeah. But in any case, I look at it as a ministry. That's where God's got me. That's where God's placed me. As anything that you never do in life, God needs to be at the center. You know, I wonder how many of us really and truthfully, deep down, that the number one reason we don't want to see Kamala Harris in office is because we want to see God be able to do things for this nation, spiritually speaking. Most of it's because of autonomy, or because we like guns, or just because our mom and dad told us to fly a rebel flag, we just don't like the status. I don't know. But at a lot of times it's for a lot of other reasons besides the fact that we want someone in leadership, in all aspects of leadership, not just the White House, but we are want people in leadership that will follow God.
Yeah, amen.
And I'll say this, Donald Trump, I do not believe follows God. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
You can't disagree with that. And I'll tell you this, I will vote for him.
Yeah.
So the preacher don't get political. I didn't tell you what to vote for. If you want to vote for somebody, whatever you want to do, that's on you. But I will say this, I have a conviction to vote for him. I'm going to tell you why. It's because that his stand on the same things I said, some of the economy puts America first.
Yeah.
And he's the lesser of two evils. He just got better policy.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
But my understanding and my hope is not in Donald Trump.
Amen.
My hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so whenever I say that I want to be patriotic, I want to support my nation, I want to pray for my nation and every which way else, I pray and ask God to have mercy on us. That's what it's going to take, is mercy.
Yes.
Whenever the wicked are in charge, the righteous suffer. But and I don't want that. I know that persecution brings patience, and patience understanding hope, and hope makes not ashamed. I get that. But I want to say this, that I believe if people would just get to a point to where that we would just really put it in God's hands and trust God, God will take care of his people.
Yeah.
Amen. What God wants us to do, God doesn't want us to all turn Republican and conservative. God wants us to turn to him.
Yeah. Amen.
God wants us to turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
Once again, to have our hope in him, to have our confidence in him. Hey, I come November 5th, I don't care what happens. You will not see me jumping up and clicking my heels, and you will not see me having my head hung down, worried to death about the next 4 years. You know why? Because that's not where my hope is.
Amen.
And this ain't my home. And I know that God is working. I know. The Bible says, for we know that all things work together for the good. And so whatever that I'm building on, whatever that I'm structuring, I want to structure it around Jesus.
Yes.
I want him to be the center of it. I want God to build the house. I want God to build the framework in my home for my children, that they'd be able to see a guideline to follow. And it ain't a conservative guideline. It's a biblical guideline. It's one that follows God. That's what I want for my children to see. That is in the context. I'm not running rabbits. That's why he gets to talking about the children in just a minute. Because all of what he's talking about in these first two verses has everything to do with raising the family. Has everything to do with training these children. But in any case, he goes on to say this. He says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. He said, except God's watching over the place. He said, it don't matter how many cameras you got. It don't matter how many loaded AR-15s is in the closet or under the bed or in the back of the toilet or wherever you got them. He said, none of that matters. He said, it don't matter if you got the best security system. If you got two German Shepherd dogs, it don't matter.
Right.
He said, except the Lord watch over the city. He said, then the watchman stays away by night and day.
Right.
He said, you can have your trust in Smith & Wesson, or you can have your trust in the Lord.
I want to say this.
My trust is in the Lord.
Yeah.
And he watches over me. He watches over my family. Hey, you know this? If a real serial killer, I'm talking about somebody who goes and murders people for their own pleasure, if they targeted you, there ain't much you can do about it.
Amen.
They really ain't. You ever watch the ID channel? These people, they'll study you. They'll follow, they'll pattern you, they'll hunt you just like animals. They'll figure you out. Most of them's got an IQ that's way above mine or yours. They're smart people.
Yeah.
They'll figure out where you're going to be and when they can get to you. And you ain't going to see them coming.
Right.
They ain't just going to, most times, 9 times out of 10, they don't come in your house. They grab you somewhere else or get you somewhere else or whatever they do. But what I'm saying is this, if they really want to kill you, it wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that hard. If somebody really wanted you gone, all they'd have to do is just know where you're out to work every morning.
Yeah.
Just park off in the woods somewhere, a couple of times a week, follow you, wait till you stop at the gas station one morning on the way to work, just pull up, they can make a homemade suppressor and slip everything with a 22 pistol and pop right out the window and keep it getting it. I'm not trying to be graphic. I'm just making a point so you understand how fragile your life is.
Right.
And the security that you think you have is non-existent.
Right.
He said it's in vain.
Yeah.
It has no value. It's useless. Mm-hmm. He said, where is your hope tonight? Where is your confidence tonight? When you go to bed and you lay your head down at night, is it in those locks that's on the door? You sit there and you think, did I lock the deadbolt? Well, by all means, get up and lock the deadbolt. By all means, put your gun up on the shelf. He said that he had the watchman there watching, right?
Yeah.
He
He said, except your confidence is in God, he said, then the guns are in vain, the alarms are in vain, the locks are in vain, all of it's useless, because at any time, those things can be broken through. If you wanted to break in your own house tonight, and you just and money was no issue, and you just want to see how fast you can get in there and get to one of the bedrooms, if you want to hurt somebody, you just go try it. All you got to do is bust a window out. It ain't that hard. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, our hope and our security ought to come from God, amen?
Yeah, amen.
I was telling my wife earlier, I was sitting on the bed and I was grinning because I know I was going to preach this. And earlier today, she's over there building her house and she had the kids and she was painting her foundation. And with that old tar, you know, I make her do that. I hate that stuff. You ever done that? That's an awful job. It is. I've just been so excited. You know what? I'm grinding my rap here a minute. It kind of made me mad. I'm going to tell you why, because I've just been so excited just to, you know, hear about, get her doing this, then hear her fussing and complaining about it, you know, and just how bad that is. You know, I'm like, yeah, you do it, you know. She goes over there, she's like, I ain't doing it. I'm like, you would. Sometimes she's too bubbly for me. I'm like, get irritated more. But in any case, she's over there, and the kids was off down playing in the creek, and she said that somebody walked up behind them, and they parked down there at the road, and they walked up and said he was looking for work, said he was real, you know, just shady acting and everything, and he wouldn't know how he could pull down in there, but I don't know if any of y'all know, but the driveway we've cut to go into our house, we got a log and they're blocking it, if any of y'all know where it's at, up near Preacher Billy's house. And in any case, long story short, there's another drive to come into it, but you can't hardly see it. It's kind of hidden, ain't it, Sherry? You know what I'm talking about. You can't hardly see it. And well, Stephanie, she just panicked and she was just trying to figure out a way she could call Dad or somebody that's nearby because I was at work. And so she called me and I pulled in there. But in any case, you know, they come around in there. But she said she just, you know, got a nerve stroke. And she called Dad and she let Dad talk to him. And they didn't tell him what Dad told him, but he left. But in any case, she was all tore up. She had a nerve tore up. And she told me she was crying and all this, that, and other. It was a scare, you know. And it is, it's irritating and stuff like that. People just, you know, not on a commitment for them. But I know this. I was reading this last night. And I was thinking about this morning. And I was going down the road, and I grinned because the thought hit me. Right when this passing right there at the driveway was about the time that I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, just watch over my family today.
Hey.
My trust is in you.
Yep.
Even when I can't be there with them, when I ain't got a gun on my hip to defend them,
yeah.
I don't have to worry about it because I know they're in your hands, and they couldn't be in better hands.
Right, amen. Yeah. Yeah.
The U.S. Army cannot protect my family like God can.
Amen. Amen.
All the nukes in the world will not be enough defense to even compare to what God has for
me. Amen.
And I thought about that as she's telling me that, and I just grinned. You know, she's all upset. I think she's expecting me to get upset. And I'm just sitting there, and I was just grinning, you know. And I was thinking about that. I didn't tell her why, but now she's finding all this out at the same time y'all are. But that's why I was grinning about her. I said, I told you, I said, just cause the way the Lord works things out. But he said that you ought to have a watchman there by all means. Take the precautions. Just like if you go to build, he said, don't just sit around with your hands behind you and wait on God to do something. Amen. Build, but do it for the glory of God. And he said, by all means, do everything you can to protect yourself. Take precautions. He says, but as you do this, he says, do it to the glory of God, trusting him and knowing that he's the one that has your security, that watches yes, over you and keeps you.
Amen.
Then he says this, he said, it is vain, verse 2, for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. He says, unless you're doing it for the Lord's sake, think about all the people that works their fingers to the bone. It's, you know, just obsessed with making money. I know people that's like that. And, you know, it's just, I think about that. I'm like, man, why don't you enjoy life, you know? Why don't you enjoy something besides just going and trying to make another dollar that's working yourself to death?
Yeah.
Now, there ain't nothing wrong with working hard.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having a job. And I mean working, you know, if you can even work all day, that's what it takes to provide for you and your family. And I'm talking about people that have enough, and that's most of us.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we want that overtime, and we want that extra, and we really don't need it. And if we get that extra and we buy that boat, or you buy that other gun, or you buy this Chevrolet, or you buy whatever it is, it don't make you happy, because you want another one.
Yeah.
You know? I'll tell you what, I come here a few years ago, I come this close to buying a brand new truck. I did. I was down in Charlotte at the Toyota dealership. It's Scott Clark Toyota down there in Charlotte. And they had a brand new Toyota Tundra, four-wheel drive. This is back in, what, 2019? I think it was in 19, wasn't it, honey? But anyways, long story short, I said, man, I said, I'd really like to have this truck. And I talked to them, and man, I think they're going to give me a deal this time. I mean, they was going to get me one more deal this thing. I said brand new. Yeah, I call it brand new. It wasn't brand new. It was used. It's like a year old and had like 15,000 miles on it. I still call it brand new.
Yeah.
But, you know, after 2020, used vehicles went crazy. But at the time, I think I could have bought this thing for like $29,000. And that's cheap. You know, it's an 18 model, had 13, 14, 15,000 miles on it. And I didn't have the money to just pay for it, but I could afford it. I could have given them a good down payment, and I could have took the loan, and I'd have been all right. Well, we hadn't got flooded yet. We still had a good place to stay. You know, there wasn't no reason for me not to get this vehicle. And I thought, man, if I had a $360 a month payment on this, I'm really done with that by then. You know, that's what I was thinking. And I thought about it, I said, I ain't going to get it. You know what? I still got that same old white Chevrolet truck I had then. And I ain't missed that Toyota one time.
Yeah.
Not one time. And I think about that from time to time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then a lot of times I do end up buying something I don't need. And I think about that too. And I'm like, now, does this bring me any enjoyment whatsoever now? What good is it doing me sitting over here? What good is it doing? You know what I mean? I think about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, why not even work all this bunch of extra and do all this that and other? You know, I just don't. Which, me, I think because partly the way I was raised, I have to work a lot, or else I get, like I said, I'm stressed. I get like that if I don't stay busy. I got to stay busy, or else I do get stressed. I guess I keep so much in my mind that if I slow down, it starts to really, you know, come up. So I like to stay busy. But, you know, last year, you know, the previous times I mowed grass. I worked and mowed grass as pastor of church. And I got to thinking about it. I was like, I don't have to do this. I could, you know, just enjoy doing other things in life. So I quit mowing the grass, you know. I said, I don't need to do all that. And, my way, other things I was, you know, doing, I was picking up a lot of extra work at work. I was doing, helping on other routes and doing second trips and taking people's packages and doing all that. I cut all that out. I don't do none of that anymore. They asked me, I said, no, I'm just going to go home. Not because I'm lazy, because I'm not. You quit work with me some more time than any kind of project, you find out I'm not lazy.
Yeah.
But the main reason being that in these last few years, I've begun to realize how important it is to put a good effort into my wife and my children and my home.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about here. And I will reference this message whenever we get back to doing this, and I get to talk about this, but whenever he reads, I'm gonna read verses 3, 4, and 5 real quick. He says, lo, children are heritage to the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That word, I will say this, just to elaborate on one thing. That word speak means to speak against, or means to warn or command. That's what it's talking about. It says, if they will command the enemies of the gate, they will be mighty. I'm training my kids right now to be warriors.
Yeah.
I'm not just training them to be Christians, I'm training them to be warriors. You know, a lot of people, you know, I was telling Stephanie earlier, she's worried about people stopping and people kind of breaking in one thing or another, and I said, a lot of people puts up signs talking about, you know, warning, you know, shoot you, whatever, you know. I'm going to put one up that says, warning, armed children will shoot. that's what I'm going to put on my sign. Armed children will shoot. And I say that, but in every sense, really, truthfully, I just want them to be brave. I want them to be unashamed. I want them to be willing to spread the gospel and share it. I want them to stand for Jesus no matter what. I want my children to know that if they go to college or not, it does not matter to me. If they make $1 million or if they make 20 their whole life, it does not matter to me. If they're flipping burgers at McDonald's or if they're the CEO of a corporation, it does not matter to me. Right. I will be proud of them either way. The one thing I want for my children is I want them to serve God.
Yeah.
One thing I want for them is to serve God.
Amen.
And I know that that right there will be something that will be satisfying to them. It'll be great riches to them. Yeah. It'll be all that they ever need. It'll be a great accomplishment to them. They'll have a sense of pride and dignity that nothing can take away, that nobody can shame them in. That's why it says that they will be unashamed. He said that it's vain to rise up early and stay up late. He said, God give you sleep for a reason.
Yep.
He give you rest for a reason. He said, don't kill yourself worrying about it. He said, hey, do what's necessary and give the rest to God.
Amen.
Otherwise, everything that you're acquiring, everything you're working for, he said that it's all in vain.
Amen.
You know, we live in a generation right now that's suffering the consequences of generations before who did not take serious the family ministry. And sat by with their ears plugged and their eyes blinded by the public indoctrination system, brainwashed generations of kids. I'm talking about people my age.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of y'all's parents done you right. My parents done me right.
Yeah.
You know, Preach Matthew's here. His parents done him right.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of you done your kids right. But I'm saying this, while we was working for the vacation, while we was working to have the retirement, while we was working to get the new boat, and all this, the children's there, and we're not sharpening them, we're not taking them into the mirrors they ought to be. We're not using them tools, that blessing, that heritage that God's given us. And all this time, and now we see the effects of it. And people says, and they cry about it, and they say, well, you know, the church just ain't like it used to be. The church just ain't the people. People don't get on the altar and, you know, cry like they used to. But here's the sad reality. Everyone that was here crying on the altar 50 years ago had kids, and they had kids. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible tells me raise a child and let you go when he's old, you should not depart from him. I believe the Word of God, and I stand for the Word of God.
Amen.
Whatever you're doing in life, unless you're doing it for the Lord, unless it's got God in the center of it, you're doing it in vain.
Hey.
We got a lot of vanity we need to cut out of our lives.
Yeah.
We got a lot of things that are without value, that are useless, that are profitless, that are worthless, that we need to get out of our lives. We need to start working towards them things that have value.
Yeah.
We need to start putting work and putting exercise into them things that have eternal value. Mm-hmm. Our families, our children, church, our spouses, our family, our friends. You've got a great ministry right in front of your nose.
Amen.
You're not even taking advantage of the wonderful gift that God's given you just to be a part of that. You know that God wants to use you in ways that you can't even imagine. Right now, even this week, even this month, this year, maybe even tonight, if we just take time to pick exercising so much effort and all this vanity, if we put it to work for God,
yeah.
He said, I'll bless you.
Amen.
He said, accept God's in it. So next time you go about to envelop yourself into something, no matter what it is, next time you go about to worry about something or have fear over anything, just ask yourself, is God in it? Is God in this? Can I trust the Lord? Yes, you can. Has he not proved himself to you over and over again? All he asks you to do is just put your hand in the plow. Take off. You won't regret it. And he said that it's easy work, ain't it? That's what he said. He said, my yoke is easy. Yeah. And my burden's light.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he carries that burden for us.
Amen.
He straps that yoke around his own neck. And he takes force. You know, he says, he tells us to bear a cross and carry a cross. Has your cross ever been as heavy as the one he carried? No, sir, no man. He carried the majority of the way. He carried my sin. And he carried your sin. And that old jacket, rugged old cross with the splinters all over it. And he carried it all the way up to that hill. There is crucified. As put to death forevermore. His blood shed for me. That I can be born again. That I can be a child of God. He's guaranteed me a place in heaven. This old sin, cursed, wicked, no good world down here is the only hell I'll ever know, praise God.
Amen.
I don't deserve it, I ain't earned it. That's what my Savior purchased for me. Amen. That's what he's purchased for you.
Amen.
He says it's reasonable for us to want to serve him.
Amen.
He said you're reasonable service.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Well, girls, if you're going to sing, come on. I'll say this, if you got some vanity in your life tonight, you need to cut out. I'll bring this altar and leave it here. Walk out through the doors tonight, willing to put your hand to the plow and do some real work, something with some value, something that'll matter eternally.
Thank you.